Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to hear from you, dear Lord God. These people, your people, the ones that Jesus died for, Heavenly Father, they did not come to hear from Tony Dunn. They came to hear from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Manifest yourself so strongly, so powerfully in our lives, dear Lord God. I thank you, Lord, literally. Right now, we'll put away all the pain, the emotions, the feelings, and all that. Move that away to receive your engrafted word with meekness. We'll humble ourselves right now. And Father, what you're speaking to us, we will mix it with faith. We will mix it with faith. And that will prove profitable in our lives, according to Hebrews 4:2. I thank you, Lord. This word will profit us, dear Lord God. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with us say, amen, amen. Lavelle, let me have Hebrews 4:2. I want you to see this. And let me have it in the King James Version, please. And young people, I know you got Pastor Brian. He's cool. He talks a little slower than I do and all that. Okay, but just today, just flow with me, okay? Now, I need you to see something. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. So the word is profitable, but it can be preached and still not provide profit. And here's why. Because it's not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when the word of God goes forth, you need to mix it with faith. One more time. I need everybody to look at me. Y'all seen the musicians before? Stay here, please. You need to mix it with
faith.
Okay, now here's the kicker. That's a choice that's on you. The word of God goes forth. You got to mix it with
faith.
Okay, and if you mix it with faith, it will profit you. Does that make sense? And that's why I prayed it. I wanted to profit you. The word of God is profitable. But you have to mix it with faith. Now, the problem is we take what was familiar and what's around us. I was watching, and I'm doing some business stuff, and I was looking at how much money rappers make. You know, rappers like, my name is Tony, blah, blah, blah. Okay, them, rappers like that, okay? Those, y'all don't like my flow? No, anyway. And you will be surprised, only a few of them are really making money. Okay? But what happens is we look at like them because they're popping and happening right now. You ever wonder why TLC was broke? Don't go chasing, And some of y'all still chasing waterfalls. And here, I need you to hear my heart. And so we will begin to believe what's popular, like that's it. Take all that, and I'm not kidding, get that out your head. It's the word of God. I like music like the next guy. Yeah, y'all went to the jazz concert, didn't call me. Fine. It's okay. Oh, no, she blamed her husband. That's wrong, Quita. Okay, that's wrong. But here's the thing. It's the gospel that's going to profit you. You see that? Everybody see that? Now, so I need you to sit back and receive. I know you're tired from working all week, but come to church next Sunday. And the Sunday after that. And the Sunday after that. And listen and hear, take notes. Bring your Bible, go home, get scriptures at the bottom, read that, but please, hallelujah, glory to God. Let's get into the message. Repeat after me, please. So, I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped. And
I will serve.
So today's sermon is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? You know, marketing companies, they know that. They use that whenever they're going to market a product to you and when they're trying to decide what colors to use and what race of people to use and all that kind of stuff and the taglines and all that. And they want you to see it and understand immediately what's in it for you. And so that's an acronym, WIIFM, what's in it for me? Now, I want to show you how if you keep that mentality, you're going to come up short when it comes to the things of God. Okay? Now, our scriptural text is John 6:26. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. I'm going to repeat that. Verse 26, John 6:26. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. That's all of us. We got ulterior motives. Think about it. When every relationship you get in, what's in it for you? Think about it for a moment. When you go get a job, as we talked about last week, first thing is, okay, well, how much am I going to get paid? What's the benefits? Yeah, want to get vacation time. You ain't had your first day of work, and you're ready to take off already. I get it. I understand, okay? You know, I mentioned Joshua before, Pastor Red's son. He also, that was his little boy. He asked a little kid about, you know, you want to go to heaven with me? And a little boy said, I got to go ask my mother first. But later on, Joshua, as a teenager, was witnessing. And somebody was pushing back. And then Joshua, you know, in his boldness, says, well, if you don't come to Christ, how are you going to get your needs met? And Scripture says, my God will supply all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it's Scripture. But what was Joshua's emphasis? What was his focus? What was his desire? What's in it for me? My needs getting met. Now, God wants to meet your needs because he did say this, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, but often we seek the things in not heaven or his purpose, his righteousness, his ways. And that's our challenge because we're more interested in getting our needs met than we are, what is it you have for me, dear Lord God? And so that thing about getting your needs met, that's entry level. As I said last week, that's just a low level way of living. And now again, no one hear anything condemning. I love you. Please don't hear anything, okay? Because I know for myself, my father even pointed out when he went through my Bible one time, every scripture Tony got highlighted is a prosperity passage. You want me to quote them for you? But then when I really began to see that, wait, there is a reason you've called me. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about calling me into the kingdom. I have an assignment. And at the end, I'm going to be held accountable for that assignment he gave me. See, we think we just get to heaven. Do you know that there are different things when we get to heaven and what happens then is based on the decisions we make now? Another message, though. My desire is that you're going to take a gut level look within yourself. Just look within yourself and develop a deeper, heartfelt, sincere relationship with your Savior. Again, no condemnation. I just want you to go to the next level. Even wives, a lot of you guys, you want us as husbands to be more loving, be more thoughtful, be more considerate. Date nights. You want date nights, don't you? Straight up. No shame in your... Now y'all holy. Okay, turn your hand out over, please. Let's get started. We're going to talk about your temporal desires versus your kingdom purpose. And when I say your temporal desires, the things that you desire while you're on this earth. And the thing about temporal things, they are temporary. They don't last, okay? But truthfully, how are you going to get your needs met? I understand that. And he will meet all of your needs. But there is something bigger. And I want you to really consider stepping up to the next level. So we have a situation here where Jesus fed the 5,000. Can I have the map, please, Lavelle? The first picture. Lavelle, can I have the first picture, please? Okay, amen. Oh, sorry, they got it. I didn't. Okay. So as you can see, this is a map of the Sea of Galilee. Can you take off the text, Lavelle, your temporal desires versus kingdom purpose so they can see the map? Okay, Sea of Galilee, that's where Jesus spent a lot of his time. Now, what we're talking about right now is at Capernaum, okay, where the red dot is. Now, off to the left of that a little bit is where he fed the 5,000. And you guys will go with Israel with us next year, you'll be able to see that, okay? Now, I also want you to know Tiberias down there to your left. You see that city down there? It's Tiberias, okay? It's going to be important when we get into this text. Number one, we go to John 6, please, John 6. We're going to start at verse 22. But number one thing, I want you to write this down, please. A crowd isn't an indication of the truth. A crowd isn't an indication of the truth. A crowd isn't an indication of the truth. Number one, I need you to get this. A crowd isn't an indication of the truth. And let's start at verse 22. John 6, 22. And it says this. The next day, the crowd, say the crowd, that had stayed on the far shore, saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. This is the day after he fed 5,000. Now, that was 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and children. Well, you want to think maybe 20,000, conservatively speaking, okay? And I got a funny feeling, just like today, mostly it was women that was following Jesus. I don't know where the fellas be half the time, but it probably was the same back then during this time. So the next day, say the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. 23, watch this. Several boats from Tiberias, that city that was down below, right, landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. Now, word got back to those that were near in the city of Tiberias. Jesus is a feeding program. We eating good up there near Capernaum. Word gets out. And people will move because they wanted to get fed also. Something about free food. I can only imagine a Sunday. We don't have donuts out front. Might be a riot at New Day. They tearing up the parking lot. Where are donuts? Jesus. Hey, Monique Bryant, I saw the bill for them donuts. Anyway, I had to go pray. I was like, y'all eat a lot of donuts. I'm going to tell you the truth. The donuts from last year, the amount we paid had a comma in it. I'll leave it at that. There's a lot of donuts. That's okay, though. That's okay. We got missionaries. We're feeding kids and all that. I'm feeding y'all donuts. Hallelujah. So, okay, let's go. 23. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. Okay, watch this. 24. So when the crowd, saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They seeking Jesus because they want the donuts. I'm sorry, they want the food. I'm joining New Day. You get donuts. Okay. They got into the boats and they went to Capernaum from Tiberias. Tiberias up to near where Jesus was. Then they went to Capernaum. They are looking for what they can get. They want their needs met. But what was their true motivation? They want Jesus. They wanted what he can do. Girl, going down to that church. They got some single guys down there. Well, I'd rather you come here than a club, but sometimes, you know, we seem sincere in our love for him, but can it be that our love and affection is really rooted in what we're going to get? And I'm going to tell you, evidence of this is how we respond during difficulty. Let me not return your text. Let your child, let us, Sister Carol, make a decision that your child won't sing this week, this Sunday. First thing, you might not come to church. And first thing, you probably just stop, I ain't going to get no money. Can't know about no missionaries. And then the next thing is that, or that you'll stop coming to church. Because it didn't go your way. So then what are you really here for? When our core values is to serve. You come in to be served. Watch this. This is funny. They found him on the other side of the lake, and they asked, Rabbi, that's Jesus. That means teacher, okay? They found him, right? And they come up to him. Oh, Rabbi, when did you get here? You ever, like, okay, you ever had just, like, nervous talk? You don't know what to say? Like, hey, and you know you want something, but you don't want them to know that you want something? Think about it. That's how they were. Now, again, I'm not mad at them. But if it happened to them with Jesus being physically present, how much more so can it be happening with us? Real talk, okay? Jesus, watch this. Jesus replied, verse 26, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. You just came looking for another free meal. Which one thing tells me, now a little side note here, that must have been some good eating. No, it's just fishes and loaves. Some good fish. Seasoned right or something. I don't know. That Holy Ghost anointing summers on that. Because then people wanted some more. Think about it. Been away from home before the all day before he fed him the 5,000. That's why he fed him, because it was too far to go back. They'd been the whole day with him. He hooked them up. And then the next day they wanted some more. That's natural. But now watch what Jesus says. This is the point I want you guys to get to. He says, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. And see, that was something in the feeding that they missed. And there's a lot of times for us, we're missing things with God. And that's why I don't want you to miss out. That's low-level thinking. See, and I mentioned it last week. I want a house. I want a nice place to live. You know, one of the things, too, you know, now that I'm on a planning and housing commission for the city of Corona, and some of the things we look for, it's their intention to build a safe community. They're intentional about that because I know that's what people want. There's nothing wrong with that. But see, a lot of us stop right there. We get the house, we get the car, and the payments that come with them, and then we're cool. But there's more. Because there's the feeding and then the miraculous. There's a feeding and then there's a miraculous. We stop at the feeding and miss the miraculous. Number two, write this down. Seek your kingdom purpose and not your earthly preference. Seek your kingdom purpose and not your earthly preference. We often do that. It's what I prefer. It's what I like. And we like things that are comfortable, things that we're familiar with. I remember a friend of mine, when I managed at McDonald's, I was 18, and I think I was about 19, I was a store manager. But anyway, we had a Caucasian girl that was working there, and she started dating one of the other managers, and he was black. And some of the black girls got mad. And it was like, why are you dating her? Why are you dating her? And I remember stopping, it was for him. I stopped him. I said, you know what? Y'all weren't thinking twice about him until he got her. Now, when he was single, you didn't want him. Now you got somebody that does. Now you're mad. Tony. And why y'all roll your, what is that neck rolling? Anyway. Tony. Thank you some because you're the manager. But your little tie. Okay. You trip. What? Yeah, I mean, I had to wear the tie. You know, the manager, right? Okay. And so you have these earthly preferences. I mean, we get stuck in something like that. We want to stay with what's familiar. We want to, and that's such, and again, there's no condemnation, but that's so low-level living. I'm going to show you in a moment. There's much, much more if you just press in. Speaking of racism, who cares? Seek your kingdom purpose and not your earthly preference. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 27. Jesus speaking, he says this, don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. And I think about something, because, you know, I like cars. I really like cars, okay? I grew up liking cars, especially Lamborghinis and Ferraris and everything. Everybody here knows that, okay? That's just me, okay? I know some of y'all like Bentleys and the luxury, the Maybachs and all that good. Go ahead, okay? That's cool. I like stuff that goes fast, especially around corners. Hallelujah, that's me. But I noticed something. I saw a Lamborghini the other day, one of the old ones, and it just didn't move me like it did when I was 20. I'm like, oh, I remember that. It's perishable. It loses its luster after a while. I remember when I first got my car, the one I have out there. It's just an Acura TL, but, you know, so I parked outside, and after the fire, ash got all over it, right? I'm like, I'll just drive fast, blow it off, okay? But I remember when I first got it, oh, no, I'm putting my car in the garage. But now you say it's perishable. And there are things that perish that we get concerned about. But he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life. Now see, here's a mistake we make. We think that just means going to heaven. That word life is the word Zoe. Say Zoe.
Zoe.
Zoe means the God kind of life. Okay? That's what it means. The God kind of life. That's what we need to be seeking. And the God kinds of life. Now here's the thing for us with life. We have two stages of life. While we're here on this earth and we die and go to heaven. We use death as like a boundary or a demarcation or something like this boundary line. Because we even say things like passing over, crossing over, or something like that. Or he going on a better place and no. He cares about my life then and now and then. Because godliness is profitable for the life that now is and the life to come. Got it? But see, we just focus on this life. And we come to church, Lord, I need a touch from the Lord today. Ooh, just touch me. I get that, but it's bigger than that. Watch this. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man, can give you. So there's more than just food. There's more than just house payment. It is. I want you guys to think to the next level. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. In verse 28, watch this. They sort of get it. Watch this. They replied, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent.
Yes.
Believe.
Yes.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We learn that. And he is a reward of those that half-heartedly seek him. Oh, I said it wrong. Oh, see, he's a reward of those that diligently seek him. Have you ever diligently sought something? And sometimes you're like, whatever, if it comes my way, it's mine. Some things you got to get after. The Bible says seek peace, pursue peace. We so chill. I'm just going to call it into being. No, my favorite. I'm going to just speak it into existence. Oh, I love that one now. It's like every hip-hop rapper, all my cousins is like, you know, yo, Tony, all that side of my family, oh, we gonna speak it. You still broke, buzzard. Look, you better go get a job. You can't sit at home and speak. They've taken, and I understand that movements like The Secret and all that. You better get up and go do something. It's the doer that's blessed. Don't fool yourselves. You want a better job? Go. You need to go back to school. You need to get a certificate. You need to get a skills. You need to do something. Amen. Watch this. He said, "Believe in the one he has sent." And I'm talking. That means a full, sincere devotion to Christ, fully. 30. Verse 30, they answered, watch this, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do?" Now, don't look at them objectively. Watch this, don't look at them critically, criticizing them or with condemning eyes or mind. Watch this. I believe they're sincere, they're just sincerely wrong. They're just missing it. "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." Like, I just fed you. Watch this, what can you do? But they didn't, watch this, 31. "After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness." Remember how the children of Israel came out of Egypt? Got it? And God fed them in the wilderness. Remember that? And he fed them with manna. Now, let me tell you something. When you're 3, 4 months old, 6 months old, 2, 4, 5 years old, your parents kind of tend to care for you. But after a while, you better grow up. We had my little grandbaby yesterday, and you know, we're watching out for, and third thing, you got to look out for them when they're young. You know, we went to Chick-fil-A. She likes Chick-fil-A, and so she's playing, and it's time to go. And I grabbed her hand. "No, hold my hand. Papa, don't hold my hand." I said, "No, I got to hold your hand." "No, don't help me." And you know, they got the double doors where you go through the little entryway, little vestibule, whatever you call it, where there's, and then you got the doors to go outside. As we're going out the second door, she says, "There's no cars in here. I understood what she was saying. "Hold my hand if there's cars." Okay, that's good for a four-year-old. I was glad to see she was able to reason like this. I'm still going to hold your hand. With your little hyper self, I'm still going to hold your hand. But I deal with her as a four-year-old differently than I will when she's 16 or 17. It's the same thing with you with God. So you're fresh coming out of things in the world. God's going to hook you up big time, but at some point, you got to grow up. When he went through, when he went through the Red Sea, okay, you remember that? Okay, they come out of Egypt, and the Egyptians decide to pursue them. They're worried because they get to the Red Sea. Red Sea is in front of them, Egyptians behind them. Okay, you remember the story in the book of Exodus, okay? All of a sudden, God opened up the Red Sea, right? He does that when you're young and you're fresh and new to this. But then later on, when it was time to enter a promised land, they came across another body of water, the Jordan River. He didn't open that one up until they stepped in it. And some of you guys, you haven't stepped in it. And you're wondering why things are not opening up for you. But you've been at this for a long time now. You've heard from God. You've seen the miracles. And you still sitting back just wanting him to do it. No, it's a partnership here. You got to step into it. And sometimes we don't want to step into it. It's like, that's why we say fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Because I know you want to shrink back. I know you're tired. I know you've been hurt before. I know he did you wrong. He lied. He did this. He cheated. He stole. And God in heaven, I hope he didn't hit you. And if he did, I'm so sorry. But you got to heal. You can't function. You cannot do life with a broken heart. And some of us, we just want to stay sad. I've had two people just in 8 years I've been doing it said to me, "Why can't I be sad? The joy of the Lord is your strength." Watch this. 31. "After all," and see, they use scriptures to reason stuff. "After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness." You're telling Jesus this. Watch this. The scriptures say, oh God, they're trying to use scripture. The Bible says Jesus was the Word made flesh. They're trying to use the word on the word. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. See, they looking at Jesus miraculous. We still want, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? I heard about their food. I want that food the rest of my life. You hooked that, my ancestors had it. I wanted to. 32. Look at 32. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." Stop right there. That means what you believe is a lie. If he's going to tell you the truth, what you've been believing is a lie. You know, often I've used the expression about my size, my skin tone and all that, and I wouldn't, you know, people wouldn't lined up, girls wouldn't lined up to go to the prom with me when I was growing up and all that, right? And I have people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, you shouldn't say that. You know, you're a handsome man. You're this. And you know what? I know it. I say, that's the truth. I'm just using it as an example. Oh, I know the truth. Now, other people might not. Oh, it's clear to me I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Your perspective doesn't define me. Your preference doesn't define me. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Because, see, they didn't know. Again, not condemning them. Some people just don't know. I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My father did. In other words, God is behind this. See, they still not there. And now watch, and now he offers you the true bread. If there's a true bread, there's a false bread. Yes. And most of y'all driving your false bread. You living in your false bread. Come on. And I'm not mad at you. Scriptures clearly say those that have left houses and land and all that, given up all that, you will be rewarded. I am not against, I got a house, a nice house. Amen. And I already asked the Lord, this is it for me and Jack. I've asked him for it. Okay? So I'm not, don't go out here thinking, well, he don't want us to have nothing. No, I celebrate you. So with the fires, right? I contacted over 20 pastors. Not just around here, all over, that know how to pray. The ones that got girlfriends, the ones that y'all see all the time. Like the crowd, going back to the crowd, like everybody going because it's a crowd, and y'all don't know. Praise, yeah, okay, and pray, okay, cool. But I call the ones that know how to pray. And we stood in a gap that fire did not touch one single person or one piece of property. So I want you to have a house. I don't want you to lose your house. So don't go out here and think, well, he doesn't. No, I do care. 33. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life. That's Zoe again, to the world. He's here to give life. I don't want you to settle just thinking like, Lord, I'm going to church. I'm believing that I will close. Pastor, let's touch and agree that I close this escrow. And I'll touch and agree on your escrow. In a little while, we're going to have escrow in this building, okay? Hallelujah. 34. Sir, they said, watch this, verse 34. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. They don't quite get it yet. I'm not mad at them. 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. The bread of life, the bread of Zoe, okay? Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Now, he's not talking physical hunger. But there are some things in you guys that are just insatiable. You ready for that to go away? Because, see, some of you don't have Christ. You got something else. And that's what you keep seeking. Not something else, someone else. Much as I love my wife, she ain't my God. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And we're talking spiritually and internally. That's why a lot of us are not content. We're thrown off guard and we just all hyper and just messed up and we mad all the time. Oh. Number three, this is what I want you to do. Take that step of faith today. Take your next step of faith today. Make today the day. Make today the day. Because we'll go out and like, I know, I heard it before, Pastor. You can't, okay, all right. Just, you haven't mixed it with faith. Take that step of faith today. Last verse, verse 36. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. And see, that makes me question, do I really believe? I even question myself, Tony, are you in faith? Forget all this pastor stuff and now this bishop stuff, man, whatever. That's a man-made, that's just, I appreciate Pastor Ed, Bishop Ed, and acknowledgement, all that is wonderful. But at the end of the day, God, are you pleased? Do I really have faith in God? Do I really trust him? And how much of a priority is Jesus to me? Is Jesus my priority when Jackie's getting on my nerves? And And y'all think she's sweet and all that. She's sweet and all that, but she bugs sometimes. I know I get on her nerves too, but it's real talk. So let me ask you guys something. Jesus wants to come in and heal, give you peace, fill you with joy, and cause you to overcome that eternal life, that Zoe life. Do you want that? You can, praise team coming up. It's so easy to stay sad and to stay in regret and to still stay in that place of loss. It is. I get it. No, I understand. I understand. And everybody with me, y'all seen them. Stay here, please. Let today be your day. Now, whatever you're holding on to, some of y'all guys like some dreams and all that, that you think, like, if I just get this, if I just achieve this, if I get this contract, if I write this book, if I can get into movies, if I can cut a record deal, if I can, I don't know, whatever it is, or if I can get this degree, whatever that is. And you think once you get that, it's going to be all, if I can get this promotion, if I can just get to this level. You can get to that level and still have the same issues that you have now. When you get to that thing that you desire, I want you to have a peace that passes all understanding. I want you to have a joy unspeakable. And I'd like you to finally be able to get along with people, family included. And are you adding value to the people in the kingdom of God? Is God pleased with you? So instead of asking, what's in it for me? God, how can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to someone else? Look at your giving. Are you giving? Most of you get, the bank loans say you get 30%. You'll get 30% to a mortgage company. I can't get you to give 10% here. He died so that you could live. Your responsibility is to embrace him, to draw near to him. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. I'm talking about being sold out. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? It's all upside. Amen?
Amen.
I love you. I love you. I think I need to let you know. I know it's a little heavy today, but I love you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen? Pastor Todd.